I want to give you four words today as a title for the sermon, which I hope will remind you at least the salient points of what we're saying. It's not long or profound or heavily theological sermon. I normally preach on communion at the cross, and before we're taking a step or two backwards in Jesus' life to the occasion prior to the betrayal and the cross, and the words are, Jesus took a towel. I believe a sermon must be biblical and based on the scripture. And the passage we read, of course, or that Robert read for us, was from John's Gospel, chapter 13. And we see in that passage, Jesus was doing a most humble, menial task. Some theologians will argue that it was one of the most menial tasks that ever was performed by our Savior while on his earthly ministry. I think it provides a wonderful backdrop for the cross and what we're going to be thinking about as we share in the sacrament where Jesus gave himself for the sins of the world. So I want to look very briefly at this well-known story and then to make some applications based on the theme of serving. Jesus took a towel. I brought a towel with me. My wife always says, make sure you bring a clean one. Well, it came out of the hot press this morning, so it is a clean one. But Jesus took a towel. When you consider that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God, I think you see humiliation. And this passage shows us, and it's about humiliation. One of the questions, you remember the Shorter Catechism? Where did Christ's humiliation consist? You remember the answer to that question now. Well, you see in this passage, Jesus' humiliation at the greatest level. I want to paint the background to this passage. In those days, the disciples of the rabbis or the teachers were supposed to render personal service to their masters. Now, picture the situation in Palestine in those days. The roads were not asphalted as we have today in our country. And in dry weather, they would have been covered with a layer of dust. And then in the wet weather, that dust, of course, became like liquid mud. The shoes that ordinary people wore were sandals, and very open sandals, to say the least of it. The sandals give very little protection against the dust or the mud, as the case might be. And therefore, for that reason, there was always great water pots at the doors of the houses, and the servant was there to wash the feet of the guests as they would come in. But Jesus' little company of friends, of course, had no servants. And such duties as this would have been done in the wealthier circles by the servants. They had to be done by each other. And if you read through and study the background of this passage, you will discover that the disciples had previously been arguing about their importance, each of them. And so possibly on this, before the last meal they were to share together, they had got into such a state of frenzy and such a state of pride that nobody would get the water and the towel and accept the duty of washing the feet of the others as they came in to share in the meal. It was too low a task for them to stoop to do. So Jesus took a towel and he mended the omission in a very vivid and a very dramatic way, as our reading reminded us. What does that say to us? Surely it says that he did what no one else was prepared to do. He took a towel. And of course, later on, after the Last Supper and as he went to the cross, he did what no one else was able to do. Mrs. Alexander put it so nicely in that lovely hymn that was written really a kind of to teach the Apostles' Creed to the children at the Green Hill. She said, there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. So he did what no one else was prepared to do by washing the feet. And then later on the cross, he did what no one else was able to do. And as a result of this death and resurrection, as we know, he gives us what no one else is able to give. Because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. If you've come to church to think of Jesus as the one who is not wishing to be bothered with the lowliest of the low, to do those kind of things, then I believe we have a wrong picture of God. If today there's inverted pride in your heart, or if you think of yourself as better in any way than your neighbor, then we want to read that passage again. And we want to see some of the things that Jesus did. And we want to ask God to forgive us of our attitude. There's a story told, and it's only a legend, I know, a story told of St. Francis of Assisi. St. Francis of Assisi, in his earlier days, was a wealthy person, an aristocrat of aristocrats. Nothing but the best was good for him. He was, as it were, born with a silver spoon in his mouth. But inside, according to what we read, he was ill at ease within himself, and he had no peace in his soul. And apparently one day, riding outside the city, he saw a leper, a man who was covered with a multitude of sores, a horrible, a sight repulsive to some degree to the eye. And ordinarily, St. Francis might have turned and looked in the opposite direction, which was hard to look at. But that day, something moved him. And he dismounted from his horse, he flung his arms around the leper, and as he did so, he saw the face of Jesus before his eyes. Now, of course, it's only a legend. But I give that story to illustrate a point, and the point is this, that the nearer we are to humility, and this passage is all about humility, Jesus doing a very humble thing, the nearer we are to humility, I believe, the nearer we are to God. And if Jesus Christ, our Savior, took a towel to wash the dirty feet of the disciples, does it not give us a new perspective for serving him in the church and in the world today? There's a hymn we used to sing in my congregation of communion, I'm not worthy, Holy Lord. One of the verses says, I am not worthy, yet my God, how shall I turn you away? You who have given your flesh and blood are ransomed price to pay. We are not worthy, indeed. Jesus records in this first verse his own commentary on the event it was read for us. Having loved his own who were with him in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. Verse 15, Jesus said, I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. In other words, the account of Jesus with the towel, which of course culminated through the meal that he shared, the Last Supper, culminated with the cross and so on, all of that should speak to us today about our service for the Lord, something that should make us think. How often do we offer excuses when we're asked to do something in our service for the Lord? I don't know what the situation is in your congregation, or if you're watching online, what church you belong to. But so often, churches and people, we've all kinds of excuses to why we can't do this and why we're not able to serve and let somebody else do it, a bit like Moses. Oh Lord, get somebody else. Very often, relationship problems, church and service and so on, people not fussed over because they didn't get a place or they were not a precinct to what they're entitled. I'm not belittling old-fashioned virtues, not at all. But the earthly church is full of people standing on their dignity, trying to look tall, when in fact they'll be better falling on their knees. I'll say that sentence again. The earthly church is full of people standing on their dignity, trying to look tall, when they really would be better falling on their knees. You see, the church today, as in most avenues of society, there's a desire for prominence and for show and for limelight. The person who's out at the front is not always the person who is behind the scenes when the work is done. And that applies not just to church, it applies to life. Humility is not one of the great virtues that is practiced in society today. Sometimes in sport, if a person, a player, is dropped from a team, they take umbrage and they play no more. Or a singer is not given precedence in a choir, or as I had on one occasion, person take an umbrage because they didn't get sitting in the front seat. This is what happens. Give you an example of this. A congregation I once had association with, not minister of, and there was a person, a prominent businessman in the town, and his wife played the organ, and there were a bit of a problem, to tell you the truth. But anyway, he sat in the back seat. In those days, you had to have your own seat. I don't know if that happens here or not. He had to have his own seat, and he put a cushion in the seat when days when seats were not cushioned. And a new person came to the town, a new vet came to the town, and of course, where do you go? When you go into a church, and you gravitate to the back seat. And he sat on the back seat, and the man who owned the cushion took umbrage, and he left the church, and he took the cushion with him. He came back later on, I wondered if he'd bring his cushion, but you know, humility, you know, these things happen. People, an attitude, it's not the attitude of Jesus who took the towel and who washed the disciples' feet. And really, when we're tempted to think of our dignity and our prestige and our rights, let's look at this passage again. Jesus with the towel, kneeling at the disciples' feet. And I pray that as you reflect on that passage today, and then as we come to share in this sacrament of love, when Jesus gave himself, the same Jesus who took the towel, gave himself body and blood, that you will consider again the love that Jesus has for each one of us. The richness of the salvation, and the hope that we have, which he procured with his precious blood shed on the cross. What motive do you have for serving him? What drives you today in the service of the Lord? A book I have in my study is published many years ago now, Donald Whitney. The book is entitled Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life. And he suggests 6 reasons for serving God for the Christian. It's very up to date. He says, motivated by obedience. That's a good one. Motivated by gratitude. Motivated by gladness. Motivated by forgiveness. Motivated by humility. And motivated by love. I wonder what motivates you today. I just hope and pray that something motivates us in the service of God. Something motivates us. We don't just come out of habit and out of tradition, but out of a real love and a desire to be fed spiritually in church and to go out to serve him in the church and through the world. A missionary in Africa was asked if he liked what he was doing. And of course, he expected to get the answer yes, or his questioner expected him to say yes, but he took the questioner by surprise. He said, no, no. Do I like my work? No. My wife and I do not like the dirt. We are reasonably refined people. We don't like crawling into vile huts through goat's droppings. But is a man to do nothing for Christ that for which he doesn't like? God pity him if not. Liking or disliking has nothing to do with it. We go because we have orders to go, because the love of Christ constrains us. The love of Christ constrains us, and that is a motive for service. I wonder what is your motive for serving. Jesus took a towel. I suggest to you today that he probably didn't like washing the disciples' dirty feet either. But he did it. And God calls his followers today to swallow our pride and to leave it at the foot of the cross and to serve him in the world. We pledge our loyalty around the Lord's table. That means that we commit ourselves, we recommit ourselves to serving him. And then we go out to serving him. Serving God is a very humbling thing. Serving God is often a very hard task. Serving God doesn't mean that we'll be necessarily popular with other people, even maybe some of our friends or family. But serving God is a great privilege in the long run. So often we can be tempted to give up. We all can. But when we look at that table, and when we think about Jesus going to the garden, to the cross, does it not say to us, Jesus said, I didn't quit in the Garden of Gethsemane. When the going was tough, when I struggled, when the sweat on my brow like drops of blood, as the scripture says, when the opposition was hard, when people, even my friends, fell away and some of them were sleeping, Jesus went right on to do his Father's will, to purchase our redemption and to give eternal hope to those who are trusting completely in him. And so he was able to say, tetelestai, it's finished. There was nothing more that he could do. He didn't quit. And so to his followers today in this congregation, I say, we are given responsibility to serve. Yes, particularly in your vacancy, and I know maybe some of you may be tired and it's gone on maybe a little longer than what you'd hoped. But don't get tired. God has not forgotten you. There is a plan. There is a plan and yet to be unfolded. And I say to you today, don't throw in the towel. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that even though we're not worthy to come into your presence, even though we're just like Isaiah, woe is me, we're people of unclean lips, dwell among a people of unclean lips. And yet, our Father, we're amazed that you would even call us to serve you and to share in this sacrament and to be your co-workers, ambassadors in the world today. We thank you, Lord, for this privilege. We're glad that we don't have to be perfect to serve you. We're glad that you use ordinary people, and the scripture reminds us how so many ordinary people with all their faults and failings, and you use them. We're glad, our Father, that we have a gospel to proclaim. We have a life to show. We're glad we have a message to teach the world, a message to show what it really means to know and to love and to serve Jesus, who gave himself body and blood for each one of us. So, Lord, we pray that you will enthuse us, inspire us, and that you will help us and motivate us as we seek to serve you in a humble way, remembering that you love us, each one. Through Christ we pray. Amen.